The Bible is precious, the most valuable thing this world affords. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." In this series on core Christianity, so far we've looked at Jesus, affirming that he is God. We considered the Trinity. And last week we looked at the problem of evil. This morning I want us to consider the importance of the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is foundational to our faith, indeed core to our Christianity. 2 Timothy 3:14-16 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. From Genesis to Revelation, God speaks to us. Paul tells us that the Bible is inspired by God. Another way of saying it is God breathed. But the Bible didn't just, fall from heaven. God used ordinary people to fulfill his purpose. Professor George Ladd noted, "The Bible is the word of God given in the words of people in history." The Bible contains 66 books and was written by at least 40 authors. People who were kings, scholars, prophets, philosophers, fishermen, poets, historians, teachers. It was written over a period of 1,600 years and written in various genres, different types of literature, such as history, prophecy, letters, poetry, parables. Even though the Bible was written by all these people at different times and places and in different forms, it has a unity that can only be attributed to a divine author. How can this be? Well, in response to that question, an illustration is given of the building of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. My daughter Abigail and I had an opportunity to go to London and visit my other daughter Emily, and we did tour that church. And just incredible. The girls, though, actually walked all the way up. I don't know how many stairs at the very top. And then I also attended an evening service there called an evensong, where it's evening sung prayers. The church is just magnificent. Beautiful stonework, metal and wood sculpting, mosaics and paintings and stained glass. It's just incredible. It was built by the great English architect, Sir Christopher Wren. It took 36 years to complete the building. And while Sir Christopher Wren built St. Paul's, he actually never laid a single stone. There were many people involved, stonemasons, carpenters, laborers, artists. But Sir Christopher Wren was the inspiration behind it all. With the Bible, there are many writers, but one architect behind it all. It's 100% the work of human authors, but also 100% the work of God. The words of Scripture are inspired. God breathed. The Holy Spirit guided the biblical authors. They didn't write just their own hunches and advice. They heard the Word of God and conveyed what He told them. 2 Peter 1:6-21 says, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his magnificent splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. The Bible is a continuous story. It's easy, I think, to kind of look at the Old Testament as just a series of unconnected heroic stories. But the stories are connected, with each one unfolding the larger story of redemption. Scripture is the unfolding of God's promise that even though we deserve nothing but death, God will bring us into His glory through the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and return of His Son, Jesus. God has revealed Himself to us in creation. We might doubt that today as we see the snow, but more importantly, He has revealed Himself to us in Jesus. And we know Jesus through the Bible. It's not just in the New Testament that we learn about Him, but also in the Old Testament. In John 5:39, Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to Me." An incident after the resurrection, Jesus met two of the disciples on the road, and they were down and they were discouraged. And He said to them, "Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering His glory?" Then Jesus took them to the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. The Bible is God's revelation to us, a love letter, if you will. And in the Bible, we learn who God is, what He has done in Christ to save us, and how we are to live in light of that marvelous gift. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And thanks to scholars, we all don't have to learn Hebrew and Greek. They've been translated into English for us. One of the first English translations is the King James Version. But with our use of many current English words and finding older manuscripts from which to translate, this is really not the best translation to use. C.S. Lewis said in a paraphrase to the J.B. Phillips translation that if we are to have translations at all, then we must have periodic re-translation. You can't translate something once and be done with it, for language is a changing thing. So many words that we use now are different than what were used years ago. So we have many good translations available to us. In the pews, what we have is the New Revised Standard Version. That's often what we'll read from. The New International Version is excellent. When I study, I'll usually use a variety of translations, but what I like personally is a newer one called the New Living Translation. And if you want to look at something that will help you understand even in a more modern language what is being conveyed, well, you might want to look at a paraphrase. A paraphrase kind of reiterates the meaning of the text using different words. The Message by Eugene Peterson is an example of this. Okay, well, we have some great translations. But how do we know that these are accurate and authentic? We can trust that what we have is accurate and authentic. So what then is the role of Scripture in our lives? The more we hear God speak through His Word, the more that we come to know Him, the more we trust Him. There's a story about a man who walked into a bookstore to return a purchase. "It's a Bible," he said, handing the book to the clerk at a cash register. "Was it a gift?" asked the clerk. "No, I bought it by myself," he said, "and I made a mistake." "Don't you like the translation?" asked the clerk, or the format?" "Oh, no," said the man. "The format was clear and the translation was fine. I made a mistake." The clerk said, "Well, I need to write down a reason for the return." "In that case," said the man, "write down that there is a lot in that book that is tough to swallow." There are difficult and challenging things in the Bible. And we unfortunately do have divisions in the body of Christ over the meaning of some of the things that are written. But there is a remarkable consensus on the basic teachings of Scripture. The different interpretations that we run into of the texts and apparent differences that we note will not be eliminated until Christ's return. In the meantime, we have to come to God's word with humility, interpreting it in a natural sense, keeping in mind the overall purpose of the Bible. For example, knowing that it's not intended as a science book. John Calvin observed, "Moses was not an astronomer, and the Pentateuch is not a science textbook. The purpose of Scripture is not to provide a secret code for determining the age of the earth, the orbit of planets, or precise details concerning the earth's condition prior to the creation of human beings." As we come to the text, understanding the type of writing and the context is so important. Recognizing the difference between historical narrative and apocalyptic, poetry and prose, parable and doctrinal exposition. Passages need to be interpreted in light of the whole, not just, you know, pulling out a verse by itself. It's understanding how it all fits together. Asking, what is the author saying? What's going on at that time? And when we do this, we have to come to the text with two tasks. One, to find out what the text originally meant, and that's referred to as exegesis. And the second thing is then to come hear that same meaning in the context of our day. And this is referred to as hermeneutics. We are to try to understand what was said back then and there, and then to hear that same word in the here and now. As we read, we need to keep asking the point, what is the author saying? And we also have to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit illumines our hearts and our minds to understand and to interpret and to obey the Word of God. If we want to know what God is like, He's like Jesus. As we read the Bible, the more we understand Him. To hear from God and to know Jesus, we are to trust in His Word. It's our authority for how we live. It's full of practical wisdom, principles and advice, boundaries and guidelines, and how we can get the most out of life. But the main purpose is to bring us into a relationship with Jesus. Michael W. Smith wrote a song a while ago called Ancient Words. The song says, "Ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart." The words may be ancient, but they are not out of date and no longer applicable. The Word of God is alive and active. And because it is His Word, we are to listen and obey. James 1:22 tells us, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Psalm 119:11 tells us, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." To hide His word in our heart, it's not just reading it. It's taking that step of following what He says. As you read, think about what it means. What is God saying to you? What do those verses say about God's character? What do they say about Jesus? What encouragement can you take? How can these guide you in the choices that you make in life? What might God at this point be asking you even to do differently? For this Lenten season, this 40-day period leading up to Easter, this is a great time, I think, to make a renewed commitment to read God's Word. Christ came to redeem us, paying the price for our sin, freeing us and giving us newness of life. But as we noted last week, there's not that final victory yet. Satan is still around, coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And God has given us His Word to help us on this journey. so that we can recognize the things that the enemy throws against us, those lies that we hear, and how we can then withstand the things that are thrown our way. God has spoken, and God still speaks. He has breathed into the Word. May that be the air we breathe, His holy Word spoken to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for wanting to communicate with us. Thank You for Your Word that helps us know You. It guides and comforts and challenges us. We so often just seem to take this incredible gift for granted. Lord, help us see Your Word as a love letter to each of us. And in so doing, just feast on every word. Help us to diligently study and correctly handle Your Word of truth. May we come in humility. Lord, challenge us to commit anew to faithfully reading and following Your Word. And within us, Lord, then birth new life. In Jesus' name, amen.